Hey, this is Carrie Peters.
And Stacey Morgenstern.
And welcome to Better Than Ever, a Health Coach Institute podcast.
Where we're here to question how we do life because the normal rules no longer apply.
Hello, Better Than Ever podcasters. Hannah Duncan here with another glimpse into HCI Live. Today we hear from co-founder Stacey Morgenstern from the most recent HCI Live stage. She will open with a piece that we call the Quiet Crisis. Now, everybody knows about those big eat, pray, love crises where you question everything, but what about those problems that aren't so loud? Take it away, Stacey.
The quiet crisis. The secret war with ourselves that we don't talk about. You don't talk about that kind of stuff. The quiet crisis is the way that you walk through your day feeling anxious, lost, numb, dark, depleted. But pretend it's okay to make it through. I'm fine. Doing good. Really good. There are two types of people. One, for those for whom life is hard. And two, liars.
She's here all night, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. So why is life so hard? Well, society has laid out impossible conditions for us to live up to.
Yeah, like if you're a woman, be nice, be pretty, be thin, hold your marriage together. Whatever you do, don't be too much, too big, or too loud. Don't do that.
And if you're a man, be strong. Don't show your emotions. Know your purpose. Stay in control. Provide for your family. Have a plan for the future. Be witty and confident, but not too cocky. It's a lot to live up to. No wonder we're anxious all the time. We put so much pressure on ourselves to live into these ideals, right? To contort into what society says is a good thing to be. And when we don't meet this Mount Everest of expectations, we go to war with ourselves. We start bullying ourselves about our worth. If you ever experience self-doubt, so it only, you know, don't raise your hand if you don't experience self-doubt. There's no one in here. Is there anyone in here who doesn't experience self-doubt ever? Okay, so you look around. Those of you who experience self-doubt and think that you're alone in that, look around. There is not a single hand raised. If you ever experience self-doubt, it's not your fault. You weren't born this way. You were conditioned. You were conditioned to stop trusting your yearnings and your aspirations and let other people's opinions run your life. I was conditioned too, to doubt every desire, to sacrifice and push through in order to get approval, right? So one day I'm lying in bed with my sweet little daughter, and she puts her little hands on my face and cups my face, and she's looking at me early in the morning, and she says, "Mama, you always look beautiful to me, but it looks like your smile went out, and that makes you look old." So I got up and I looked in the mirror and I tried to smile at myself in the mirror, but the woman staring back was frowning. She was right. The wilting that I secretly felt on the inside was seeping towards the outside. This is not a good thing. I could no longer deny the quiet crisis or hide the private pain. I got the message loud and clear. It was time to start questioning all of that conditioning. And the process that came out of questioning that conditioning is what we now call the transformational coaching method. So the transformational coaching method, has anyone heard of the transformational anyone? Coaching method. Okay, good. There's some. Anyone not ever heard of it? If you haven't heard of it, you will be getting an experience of it. The transformational coaching method, or as TCM we lovingly call it, is really the artichoke heart of our year-long mastery program, which you're going to get to experience directly over the next 3 days. Would that be fun? Yes. Excellent. We've graduated thousands of mastery coaches who tell us it's the most powerful coaching work that they've ever experienced. But mastery wasn't birthed by staring at my blank computer screen. It was birthed from my quiet crisis. 12 years ago, I got the worst career advice ever from someone that I worked with. I was working too much at a $17 an hour job as a cookie and pie taster in a grocery store. True story. Okay? Now, some of you might be thinking, well, $17 an hour, that's actually pretty decent. That's not so bad. It's above minimum wage. To put it in perspective, it took me 7 years to go from $8.25 an hour all the way to $17 an hour. 7 years, and I'll save you the hassle of the math. That's a $1.25 raise per year. So after working for 364 days and then getting an evaluation, my great hope was to get that $1.25. 7 years, every year, $1.25. Titillating! Woo! And I'll go on vacation in 85 years. Moving on up! You know, right? You had that, didn't you think that? Woo! It was killing me. This job was killing me. But it was a relatively stable job with health benefits. I had recently been certified as a health coach. The problem was I had zero clients and about 2 months' rent to my name. Because I was living in San Francisco. So if you can add that up, that $17 an hour just wasn't cutting it in San Francisco. And yet, I knew that I was being called into something bigger. And it was going to require taking some big risks, like perhaps leaving my soul-sucking job. This coworker said, "Stacy, you're lucky to have this job. There's a stack of resumes piled mountain high at the customer service area. People who want your position. This is a really decent job. You should actually hang on tight and like just be grateful for what you have, because a lot of people don't even have a job." It was like, ugh, bah. My heart sank. I felt a part of myself go dark. It wasn't what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear, go for it. Bet on you. I see great things for you. Go after your dreams. But that hopeful voice shrank, and what got loud was their fears, their worries that said, you don't make a good bet. I wouldn't bet on you if I were you. Play it safe or something bad will happen to you. In other words, you're going to become a bag lady. Anyone have bag lady fears? I see guys over there raising their hand.
I do.
It didn't take much for me to start believing them. So I split myself in two. It was a split between playing it safe, like everyone insisted I should, or playing full out while the messages being slung at me said I would fail. What if they were right? There are two versions of ourselves in relationship to fear. One where fear crushes you, and the other with fear transformed that fuels us. Fear crushes or it fuels us. So how does this show up in our lives and in our business? We rationalize our fears. We literally make up reasons to not pursue our greatness right now. Oh, that greatness? on pause. And we do this with what we call the chronic conditions. These are the ways that we don't do what we really want to do because of the conditions we place on ourselves. It's someday living. You'll recognize it because it sounds like this. I'll be ready when. So raise your hand if any of these resonate for you. I'll be ready when I know enough.
That's a good one.
I'll be ready when I lose 20 pounds. I'll be ready when my friends or parents or spouse finally approve. Don't want to admit that one, but what are some of yours? Call out, I'll be ready when what? I'll be ready when I have enough money.
Have enough time.
When I have enough time, when I have enough training. When I'm certified. When my kids are bigger, when my kids have like graduated high school, then I'll be ready. Good one. Sweet. I'll be ready when I have a client or five clients. I'll be ready when I can replace my, isn't that funny though, catch 22, it can't really, right? So when I have all of these things perfectly, then I'll have earned my right to trust myself and leap into my greatness. It's like, I'm about to get it all together. I'm about to, right? Until then, I'll continue to feel not good enough, not worthy, not deserving, like I haven't yet earned the right to be the man or the woman that I am aching to be. And that's how I felt. Not worthy, not good enough. So if you were my coach, which version was playing out? Was it fear crushing or fear fueling? Fear crushing. I've always wanted to be a character in a video game. And because I didn't feel worthy or good enough, I didn't take action to build my practice. I didn't even tell people I was a health coach. Partly because I didn't feel good enough, but partly because I thought people would judge me. I mean, what kind of health coach is a cookie and pie taster? You know? Problems. I saw other people being successful, but I didn't believe that this would really work out for me, and I slunk into despair, a feeling of missing out on who I was really meant to be. And that was my quiet crisis. Does anyone have that kind of quiet crisis where you're afraid, not only that it won't work out for you, but there's another version of you that's afraid that actually you'll miss it? Like you'll miss out on who you would hope to be, and that you'll look back, maybe, who knows, because we don't know how long we have. We have an assumption that life will be long and I'll get there someday, but we don't know. We don't actually know. So, there I was with my therapists, Ben and Jerry. Crying about the split versions of myself, who I wanted to be and the burden of who everyone else thought I should be. And I did what I had been conditioned and habituated to do. Buy into everyone else's doubts and give up my aspirations. So I kept my miserable job. And continued to play it safe. But I was withering inside. I dreaded going to work, numbed myself on caffeine and sugar just to make it through. Sometimes I wished that I would get sick so that no one would expect anything of me anymore. Then I'd meet someone who was sick, and then I'd feel ashamed for not being more grateful for having what I had. And then I'd stuff my face to stuff the pain of the shame of feeling bad about that. It's like it's this never-ending cycle. But the truth was is that I was aching and could no longer suppress it. There was a revolution happening in my heart and in my belly, and it was rising. What you resist persists, right? One day, sobbing on the bathroom floor, writing my fears in my diary. Does anyone keep a diary? Journal? Sobbing on the floor, writing in my diary, which is kind of a sloppy process. But what came out that day was a clear proclamation. And these words that I'm about to share gave me the courage to take a stand for my aliveness. My wish is that they offer you that courage too. You ready? It won't always be easy. Bumps, bruises, and scrapes. Sometimes the people you're trying to help may be the ones standing on your cape. But remember, you're simply reminding them of the path they didn't follow, awakening in them the suppressed yearning in the hollow to devote their gifts to something beautiful, because sacrificing your livelihood, because sacrificing aliveness for your livelihood is no longer suitable. There is very little difference between me and you. I'm just a woman who decided to choose to stop letting fear choke the muse, to stop letting doubt stop me from singing, to stop letting guilt weigh down my wings, to stop asking for permission and start trusting my own intuition. This just might be the secret to go from wishing to winning. So the next time you feel compelled to free fall in the swell of anxiety and despair, where you snowball into complaining about your life scarcity and strife, slow way down, lengthen your spine, straighten your crown, feet firmly planted on the ground, ask, what is asking to be laid down? I lay down not good enough and never will be. I lay down the fear of looking bad and the need to look good. I lay down the war within. I lay down the stories of not being seen and start to see myself. I decided that no one will convince me ever again that I'm not worthy, that I'm not a good bet, that my dreams are not worth pursuing. I've been invited, and I said yes, and my yes is final. If it weren't for making that decision and that commitment, I would not be standing here talking to you today. No way. I'd be sobbing on the bathroom floor. I'd still be hiding out on the sidelines with the private pain. But instead, I'm standing here, my amazing partner, having made my living as a professional coach for the last 12 years, making an income that supports my family, that makes me come alive, that challenges me to grow, certainly does, and most importantly, allows me to give back. Isn't that what we want money for? We want a good lifestyle, we want to be comfortable, but we want to be able to give back. You likely showed up to this event because there's some stirring in your heart that refuses to be suppressed any longer. You were born to experience being part of the world, but you were also born to transform it. So why sit in silence when you have been given a voice? Why try to fit in when you were destined to stand out? Why tone it down when you were born to live it up? Yeah. Your role is to play full out, to transform from victim to victor, to transform from martyr to master, to start on the epic adventure of becoming a master of aliveness. Does that sound like worthwhile work? Yes. Are you up for that? Yes. Yes. Really? Are you up for that, to become a master of aliveness? This is your life purpose, is to come alive. That is your life purpose.
Thanks for tuning in to Better Than Ever, a Health Coach Institute podcast. For more information on our programs, please go to www.healthcoachinstitute.com. Comment and share if you like what you hear.